know this from many of you, that I'm intercepting you in your paths and your journeys. And know this, that an effectual door, an open door is open to you. And I'll show you what's on the other side of it. I'll show you with plainness of speech in a way that I can speak to you as a father. For know this, don't wait. I'm saying by the Spirit, don't wait for more opportune time to move in and more convenience. But know this, the instruction and the wisdom that I desire to pass over to you at this season of your life will supersede all those things that are causing noise, saith the Spirit of grace. For I desire to take you to a place in me that not only has the capacity to conquer, but I desire to make of you in this last outpouring, in this call towards the end, more than conquerors, saith the Spirit of grace. So follow me in this hour. Know this, that my plan is sure and steadfast for each of you. Worship and know this, that everything that you desire is on my heart. I have a plan and a purpose and a way to get that over to you, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Mockley drove up today. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
That's really good. And Lakeland drove over. That's cool. And Ocala drove here. Wonderful. Hallelujah. Well, let's just worship a little bit more. Just a little. And then, let's see. Part of all this is about fellowship anyway. That's what it's all about. So, that's what we're doing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your Word. Take your Word above all things. We worship you for it. The excellency of the power that comes in it, through it, Father. We give you all the praise, all the glory, all the thanksgiving. Everything that you've provided through Jesus our Lord, that we could have access to undefiled wisdom by the Holy Spirit. And you sent a teacher.
Sir.
His name is the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
And if we would acquaint ourselves with Him,
yes, sir.
Then He would teach us.
Oh, yes.
He would teach us.
Blessed be the Lord.
Makolase. Thank you. Paul was having to write to the Corinthians that they were in a big mess. And he said, "You're babes." He couldn't have written that to you guys, cause, or us guys, because we're pretty well grown up. This message is going to go out to somebody who needs it on the internet. And you'll be just here as moral support for them, as grown-ups in the Word. Are you being facetious? No, I'm just being mean. That's all. He said, "You're carnal because one says I'm of Paul, the other one says I'm of Peter, and the other one said I'm of Apollos." I think Apollos was second than Peter. He said, "You have your favorite preachers." But he said, "What disqualifies you for being qualified for meat is the strife and the contention. But the strife and the contention was over who they liked best as a qualified teacher of the Word, somebody that could really tickle their fancy, or Apollos, of course, he was quite a pronounced orator. He doesn't have any canon of Scripture, but he's very well known as being just somebody that really could speak. And then, of course, Peter was one of the 12. So they were really finding themselves in some kind of pecking order, and he said, some said this and some said that. And then the last group, some said, well, I'm of a Paul. And then another one said, no, but I can tell you that. Apollos is a lot better speaker than Paul. And then the other one would say, well, no, the group that we're really associated with is this. We're associated with Peter because Paul and Apollos, they weren't even one of the original 12. So how can they tell you anything? Well, then there was a last group. The last group said, we are of Christ. In other words, we're going to... And they were more sarcastic than the rest of them because they said, you know what? We can trump your card because here's the deal. You think you got all this. Our clique is Christ. But Paul said, none of you are in order because there's strife and debate. And then he finally had to tell them, look, the kingdom of God is not in word, but it's in power.
Amen.
It's in power. To the 21st century church, something is definitely missing.
Amen.
Because we've got the best teachers on planet Earth, but the void between the Word and the power. Paul said, I did not come to you with excellency of speech, with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration, but in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the demonstration of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Oh, where's that void? I mean, it wasn't like he was ignorant and said, okay, I don't know anything, so all I can do is come and pray for you. I mean, he went from there and he basically told him in that first couple of chapters, I can't really talk to you as adults. I have to. Now I'm paraphrasing, but he said, I have to talk to you as children because of the strife that's running rampant in the church. He said, hitherto have I not been able to, and still I'm not able to talk to you. So everything that you find in 1 Corinthians, according to the Holy Ghost, is what Paul was trying to break down and digest, like you would break down the meat. You couldn't give them meat, but you'd have to give them meat, milk. So the enzymes, everything that Paul was saying was breaking down. So Paul was saying, here's what, something like this God wants to say, but he really can't say what he wants to say. Because whatever he wants to say, it's all confused by strife and debate. Well, that's amazing because he goes on to talk about a lot of different things. He talks about the power of God, and he talks about everything that the church is supposed to be and the gifts. He does a lot of things that the church can't even... They don't have any idea about how that mercy, James says, rejoices against judgment. In the 5th chapter, there was a man who had his father's wife. Certainly hope that wasn't his mother. Had to be something like step. And Paul said, I've already done this, but I'm going to pull you in on it. He said, don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? In other words, church, now this is this is all milk. And he said, one saying this, one saying that. And he said, look, it's a small thing, but I'm judged of you. This is what he said. In other words, you were putting in, they basically were had per se their voting cards, like, I vote for him. And Paul said, look, it's a small thing, I'm judged of you. I don't even judge myself. He says, I don't even know where I'm actually standing at as far as in my apostleship. He said, he who has called me will judge all things in the end. So he steps in as a father because he fathered that church and said, okay, here's some things. First of all, the leaven that is among you is it's going to destroy you. You think you're walking in some kind of grace? Let me tell you something about grace. Grace in and of itself. That grace that comes from above. Oh my. It has the capacity to change us from the beginning of the cross. But it takes us the smallest form of grace. I mean the elementary primary part of grace is that unmerited favor at the cross. But then it takes you from that place into a continual change from glory to glory to glory. In other words, you're not supposed to be 5 years from now what you are today. Well, Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. But he said, I did not. He said, because of that grace, I labored more abundantly than them all. Now let me tell you, we're going to go back to that in a moment where he sits holding that where we're at in the churches. But let me talk to you just for a minute. Let him talk to you something about grace. His grace, boy, it's more than sufficient. It's more than sufficient. It'll take you from where you're at right now to the next place that God has for you. It'll change everything. See, Paul defined it. He said when he said the thing that was sent to him by Satan from hell, he cried out and said, God, you got to rescue me. And Jesus himself came to him and said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. He wasn't saying you've got to put up with it. He was saying, here's the remedy. Here's the recipe. This is how you get out of it. My grace is sufficient. It is sufficient. So Paul defined grace for us when he said, my grace is sufficient. He's saying, when you fall on Him, all of everything that Christ is becomes to you and in you and through you. So Paul said, I am what I am in 1 Corinthians by the grace of God. But because of this grace, I worked more abundantly than them all. Meaning Apollos, meaning Cephas. He said by the Holy Ghost, I took that grace and took it and I didn't sit on it. See, here's the definition that Satan tries to redefine the modern church with. It's all by grace. It is all by grace. It is, absolutely. You cannot add anything to Jesus, to anything that He did. Amen. You can't add anything to the blood. But once you've stepped over into that grace, then you've got to understand something. He turns you over. He turns you over to a member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. That from that day forward, you could walk a walk that would change you from glory to glory. Amen. And take you out of everything that you were living in, every circumstance, everything that seemed to corral your life. How do I get out of this, Pastor Brock? I don't know. I absolutely don't know. But I know who does. And I know how it comes. It comes by grace. Oh, thank you. That means that I don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything that the blood did. But now, like Paul said, because of this grace, I've labored more abundantly than them all. And Paul said, okay, now look. Church, he said, the leaven that's running rampant in you, it's going to destroy you. Because what was happening? This guy was evidently he was a known member. He was a known member, and he was singing in the choir. He was taking up the offering. He was doing whatever, and nobody, from the pastor down to the usher, now down to his best friends, nobody would step up and say, "Hey, this is going to destroy you, and then it's going to destroy the body of Christ." Well, Paul said, I turned him over to the destruction of the flesh. Turned him over to Satan to the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit might be saved in the Lord's day. In other words, the man's got problems. He's got stuff hidden away in his life. He's got stuff put back. Oh, I hope nobody sees that. That's my own stash. That's my stash of stuff. When stress gets on me too strong, I have to go there. Living something that I'm not or not supposed to be. But then again, it's all by God's grace. Paul said, look, His grace is sufficient, but His grace will change you from glory to glory. Hallelujah. So how do you do that? Well, define it for me. Does that mean that when He comes and He says it's all by grace, receive this, and you relax and say, okay, Holy Spirit, You do it. And then He says, I will. But what I need from You is Your agreement. I need that place inside of You where I can come and change you.
Amen.
I can come and change you. See, the kingdom of God, He said, is not in word. Like, it is in word. This word is so powerful. But what He was saying, it's not in the king. The church at large has been, we've been taught to death. We've been taught to death. We know. The only thing is, we can't get people out of wheelchairs hardly. And I'm not preaching against anybody. I'm sitting in the pew with you. We can't hardly get them out of wheelchairs, much less tell them, look, you can be free from that stuff. You can be free from the under-counter stuff. And you can be free from the over-counter stuff. And you can be free from the torments in your life. And I can tell you it's by His grace. Well, what is His grace? It is sufficient. But guess what? Paul said, because of that grace, I labored more abundantly. In other words, because it came on me, I knew that there was something out there that the Holy Spirit had for me. And He didn't ask me to just sit. He asked me to go in. Well, how do you go in? Aren't you glad that He provides a way, a deliberate way, an absolutely deliberate way? I guess more than anything else, the thing that makes me know that we're free is that God prescribes a perfect path for us. In other words, before I ever... This is the miracle. This is the day of my freedom. This is everything that I want. Okay? Tormented, depressed, putting on a facade. You think you know me, but you don't really know me. That's what I aspire to. I aspire to an openness where I am what I am. And I'm totally free. How do you get there? Well, here's how you do it. You hear the sermon, and you hear 19 points But after it's done, on Monday morning, when the devil's beaten the... I'd like to say it. He said, "It's said for me." You can't remember none of the points.
Yes, hallelujah. That's so true.
When the hoodlums come back out, see, the hoodlums will come after I leave. You know that. You know the old Batman mask hoodlums? When you feel the victory like you feel it, you got to understand. The hoodlums are... they're the same old, same old. So here's your freedom, but here's what He's provided through grace. He's provided through grace that the path to the freedom, when you get over here and you say, "My God, I'm free. This thing is off of me. It is off of me." So Paul was teaching all this to them, and he said, "It's just milk." But what he really wanted to tell them is this: the kingdom of God, it's not in me teaching you to death. The kingdom of God is even though he knew this, even though he taught him about the things of the world to come, although he talked to him about not how to stay out of strife, not sue your brother. He said, "Take the least among you." In other words, he said, don't ask for the commissioner and the police chief to come up here and decide between the two of you. He said, "Go get the cleaning lady, because she's not going to be at next week's barbecue anyway. So when she just comes in here with her broom, ask her. Ask her." He said, "Shouldn't the least among you decide these disputes?" Then at the end of this, he got into things like the world that was to come, eternal judgment, and how we get our glorified body. And all that was just meat. I mean, all that was just milk. It was just milk, he said. But what he was trying to tell them is this: anything I can tell you, if I teach you all these things and it's words only to you, and it's not power that changes your life, if I give you a 19-point teaching and it doesn't come with a demonstration of power, it's not going to change your life. It's absolutely not going to change your life.
Sir.
The Holy Spirit. You'll forget. We live in if I could say this nice. It's kind of an AD. It's not after. That's a attention deficit. Church, society at large. Because it's the power that's in there was sometimes somehow waned out by a lot of good programs and a lot of good well-meaning things. And then you don't have to go too far to see what's happening in somebody's, the church's spiritual life when you just watch the academics of the world. No wonder kids are so, maybe too heavy a term, but almost schizo at home. They can't settle down because there's this and this and this and this. And I got done with a run the other day and I was sitting in the Calistoga's and we were having breakfast. And now this was no indictment about them, it's just an example of the world we live in. I was watching probably a husband and wife. And Candy and I were sitting there, we're eating, and I'm tired from the race. And they're just enjoying life. I mean, there wasn't nothing wrong with what they were doing. And they're sitting across from each other. It's a beautiful morning. And, you know, breakfast we had, and it was just quaint. And I'm watching them. And he's got his laptop, and she's over here, and she's got hers. And they're, you know, the whole time, an hour. They didn't have breakfast together. They were on their laptops. They went out of there thinking, now they may have left, closed their laptops and went to the beach and held hands and walked down the beach. I don't know. I don't know the end of that story. But I know they spent that time with their attention someplace else. It wasn't only each other. It wasn't together. It was on something else. The church at large is functioning just like they do in society. The attention, you can't hardly be around them. You go in to have lunch with somebody, sit down and have a conversation with somebody nowadays, and they've even got comical commercials on TV about it. I mean, it's like texting. Okay, what did you... Excuse me. I'm going to talk here a little bit. What? And yes, I know. Excuse me. Yes, and what else? And it's called to them multitasking. It makes them feel good that they're keeping this thing going and keeping that thing going and they're spinning this wheel and spinning that and they're thinking they're getting a whole lot done, but they're just going into attention deficit. They're never living in the moment. I used to take my girls into the theater. I said, I'm paying for this. But you and your friends, you guys pull those things out and I see those lights come on. You know, you spend 40, 50 bucks. What's all out about, Pastor? You got a grief? No. Here's the application in the Spirit. Your Father wants to get to know you. He really wants to get to know you where you become unattached to everything else but Him. And He sent the Holy Spirit to do that with. The first thing that the Holy Spirit will step in with is the gift of praying in tongues. And I can tell you that it is the path to that. It's not works, it's just a tool. But if I exhaust it, I mean, why wouldn't I? If He says, I'll pray for you anytime you want me to pray for you, all you got to do is open your mouth. And I'll change you. The Word says in 1 Corinthians, the same thing, he's talking and telling them, look, your own milk, but guess what? My source of revelation power is, I want to tell you in 1 Corinthians 14, I pray in tongues more than accumulative, thank you. All of you put together, magnify all your time, and I'm praying more in tongues. And that's, Paul says, this is the source. This is the source that is taking me from here to there. It's not works, it's grace. But since I've received grace, then I'm going to get on this path and I'm going to exhaust my entire life. He said, I left, this is what he's saying. And the Holy Ghost let him put that in there. He said, I outrun Apollos. I outrun Peter. I did more. But it wasn't me. It was grace. But grace didn't cause me to sit back and do nothing. Grace called me to say, oh my God, this has come on me. So therefore I'll employ it and I'll run into it more than I ever had before. Hallelujah. That intimacy that the Holy Spirit wants to bring every one of us into. The first thing that He's asking us to do as believers in this last day is to go into places in Him where you can say, Lord, I'll just detach. They've got a... I don't have one on. I don't have one. But I know they have read about them. They've got these, you know, the Garmin watches where they're not just a watch. Man, you set them. I was at a run the other day. The guy said, this thing's talking. It'll talk to me the whole race. I said, my God. I was listening to him talk. He said, he'll tell me when I'm, you know, he'll give me that margin. If I'm backing off or if I'm running too fast, I got to keep the pace. It'll give me my splits at the end. It'll tell me how fast I ran the first mile. It'll tell me my distance. It'll tell me my pace. And it'll tell me my heart rate. And then all I got to do is go in there, take it, plug it into my laptop, and I can get the download on it. And I can for a whole week or 2 months, I can tell where I'm progressing. I can tell, okay, after the first mile, my heart rate was a little faster than what I wanted. And that's the reason why my pace was off two seconds. So I need to increase. So it's wonderful. The only thing is, sometimes that takes all the fun out of it. I like it. They call it, I read the other day, they said, just run amok. I said, what's amok? Amok, it's the same word. If you look it up in the dictionary, it's not really a good word. It means to act with a kind of a frenzy state. But what the modern guys are taking with it, they're saying, sometimes just relive the moment and go out and run for fun. Run amok. Take off and take away the gadgets. And just run for fun. And God is saying, there's a place in me that the church has learned, and it's learned, and it's seminared, and it's preached, and it's taught, and it's given all the very best that it has. And it's real weighty on this side. It's real weighty. But over here where there's power, it's lacking.
Amen.
It's lacking. Why? Because one of the things that we can't hardly do nowadays, we think. I mean, we probably almost pass a lie detector test. Possibly could. You say, are you spending any time in intimacy? Oh, yes. Are you spending any time with the Holy Ghost where He has a... Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That husband and wife probably thought they had breakfast together. They didn't have breakfast together. You'll think sometimes, I'm spending time with my kids. Ha, ha, ha. Boom, 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 boom. The diversity or the division of mind in the home is the same thing that runs rampant in the church. It's the same thing that won't allow somebody to come to a place where they're able to go into a place in Him and sit at periodical places in their life. Because what the Holy Spirit wants from us is He doesn't want time. He wants you.
Amen.
He wants you.
Amen.
And He'd rather spend 5 minutes of quality time than 2 hours. He may not like that word, but I like it in a certain sense. He'd rather you run amok. He'd rather you just say, okay, Lord, just unattached. Unattached. You know what, God? I can make the greatest step of faith. I don't believe anybody in my family is going to die for the next 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 minutes. I'll turn my cell phone off. Oh, God, can you do that? Yes, I can do that. I can turn my computer off. I can walk away from it. God, it's a task, but I can do it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I can step into this realm of great glory. Why? Those petty things? No. What I'm saying is this. The Holy Spirit wants you. He wants intimacy. He wants fellowship. He wants a place where He can come and change you from glory to glory, because He knows this. And if you get to that place, you're no good to the devil anymore.
Amen.
You're no good. Your pitifulness that the enemy kept telling you you'd never win, it goes out the window. Hallelujah. And you begin to believe that you're more than a conqueror.
Amen.
And then you begin to believe that, hey, wait a minute. Hey, I know the teaching on this, but guess what? I know the power on this as well. I can do both. Paul said, look, I can teach you. I can teach you about the world to come. I can teach you about all kind of civil things. I can teach you all about this and that and the other. I'm not ignorant of any of these things because I've prayed them in by the Holy Ghost. But guess what? I can tell you, the kingdom of God is not talk. The kingdom of God is power.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's power. So that's what all of you are after. That's what He was doing tonight. That's what He wants in our life more than anything else. Won't you just stand with me for just a moment? Just begin to lift up your hands and just begin to magnify Him. We exalt You, Jesus. We exalt You, Jesus. Great is Your glory, Jesus. Great is Your glory, Jesus. Great is Your glory, Jesus. Whew, Matt, give us one if you got one. Thank You, Jesus. I glorify You. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. I love You, Jesus.